Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. You guys all disappeared. I got a little bit nervous there. So yeah. I mean, what Yaakov does just does not seem to be. He certainly seems tone deaf in what he says. And then what happens? Pasuk Lamed Aleph Vayomru Hachzona Yaset Achotenu. So the response of Shimon and Levi is very simple. What you did, our sister cannot be treated like a prostitute. It was wrong. And Yaakov has no response to that, which means that Yaakov agrees on some level. His response is ultimately going to come much, much later. He's going to wait till his deathbed to respond. Okay, so I want to go a little bit out of order. Yeah.
See, then again, he didn't really agree. He just couldn't necessarily formulate a very good response at that time.
Right. Okay. Fair. Or he just felt that whatever his response was not going to resonate with them. So let's take a look at the Netziv. It's the last source because I think the Netziv, it's a really, really fascinating answer that doesn't necessarily fully explain our story. But what it does do is it gives us a window into Shimon and Levi. And it'll certainly explain historically how Shimon and Levi turn out the way they turn out. So he says, Shnei b'nei Yaakov Shimon v'Levi. Tevat shnei miyutar. We can't count. It tells me Shimon and Levi. I know it's the two sons. Why does it have to tell me that it's two? And then he says, v'nadav avihu, we have two other brothers. K'tiv v'ikhu b'nei Aron nadav avihu. It says that the b'nei Aron nadav avihu took. It doesn't say v'ikhu shnei b'nei Aron nadav avihu. U'balam denu, the afagav shenit achdu b'ka'asu gadol, l'achriv ir umlo'a. Even though they both united in their anger, and there was a lot of it, to destroy a city full of people, v'gam hit achdu, and they also were unified, laviat mamli de sakana, to put themselves in harm's way, atsuma, right? They don't know that it's going to have such a happy ending. Nonetheless, they were two. Hainu sheshonim hayu bedat hamavir to eisha zeh. Each one of them had a different reason for the fire that was burning within them. Echad ba bedat enoshi hamekane lechvod beit aviv. One of them came from an intellectual place that was upset that the kavod of his father's house was ruined. Hamevi laish kazev u eish zara kayadua. That still is an eish zara. That's still, he's using the nadav and avihu analogy. It's still a bad fire. Ve'echad ba bedat kinat Hashem b'li shum panim. V'ratzon hi she'esh shel heved ka. And the other one was coming from a place, not that he felt that, the B'nai Yaakov were disrespected, the family of Yaakov was disrespected, but rather he came from a place of kinat Hashem, zealousness for God. But umikol makom me'esh kazeh gam ken yesh li zahar harbe lekaven amakom yazman. Nonetheless, you have to be careful with a fire like that. And in this case, perhaps the fire was not a good one. And using that kind of fire destroys a lot. So what the Netziv is doing so beautifully is he's saying that both Shimon and Levi had reasons for doing this, but their reasons were different. But their reasons will actually show who they really become down the road. Levi is going to have this passion for justice in him also, but it's going to be used for God. And many of the times that he does that, it's going to be done in a way that actually is something that God stamps and seals and says is okay. Whereas Shimon, when he's going to pop back up in Tanakh, it's not going to be for an Eish Kinat Hashem, but it's going to be an Eish Kinat Kvod Atzmo. And that one is not justifiable. But it's fascinating that if you actually look in this story, which is one that we often don't look at for where there's a problematic brother, we always assume that Shimon and Levi are on the same page in this one, comes along the Netziv and says, no, already here they're separated. Okay, so when we left off, we said we had to come back and understand a little bit better what happened on the third day, why they kill everyone. So let's take a look at the Sfarno. The Sfarno says, "Vayargu kol zachar shalom malu el al tikva lasim mikneyam mikinyanam kidirei chamor v'shchem." So the Sfarno says, why did they get themselves a bris milah? Is that they wanted so badly to get a bris milah so that they could use it as a way to get the possessions of the Jewish people. So far, far from lishma is what they do, and so therefore that they're punished. The Or Chaim takes it a little bit further and says, "Achenim ben Yaakov lo yabatam la rog ela bal aveira." The Or Chaim says that the Bnei Yaakov only want to kill sinners. Shekov bnei Yair ratzu lamod v'peretz kinegdam leval yargu malkam al kein horgam midin rodev. So he offers the possibility that they understood that when they killed Shechem and Chamor, that the rest of the city wasn't going to take it, you know, standing, and therefore they killed everyone because everybody else was going to kill them, so they're a rodev. Umro vayargu kol zachar vazehi zigu l'arogat chamor v'shechem lo ayu yucholim linkom nikmat nekem me'amuchuyav lamita. They were only able to kill the others out of self-defense, not because they were deserving a death. But O Tam Shargu Kol Bnei Ya'ir Latzad Shehem Hayu Be'ezer Shechem Ligzol Dina. But he says there's another possibility. The reason why they killed the entire city is because they were part of, they helped in the kidnapping of Dina. And Bnei Noach Mechuyavim Mita LaGezel. The Bnei Noach Archayev Mita for Gezel. Aval Alarayot Ein Chiyuv. But arayot like this, helping, right? They didn't commit arayos. So kidina lo haita, I'm sorry, al arayos en chiyav, kidina lo haita ish et ish. There was no arayos here, which actually is an interesting question. How would Rashi answer that v'chein lo yeaseh when we say here that they actually did not do anything wrong? Sleeping with an unmarried girl was not an aveira to a b'nei Noach, but kidnapping was, and they were part of the kidnapping, yeah.
There's some basic question about why the Shimon Levi felt their Chayav Misa, or this just goes back to their own passions.
Sorry, I missed part of the question. Can you just ask the question again?
Yeah, no, so based on this, so if the rest, I guess, so they're saying that Hamar and Shechem and the whole town were all Chayav Misa because of the kidnapping and not because of the Arias?
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess that's what's there. It seems right. And then Shimon Levi, their passion would be burning, I guess, according to the Or Chaim, from the fact that their sister was kidnapped rather than their sister was raped.
The implication of this is that, you know, by law they were not Chayav Misa. Everyone else was, not them. Everyone else enabled them to kidnap, but they themselves were only guilty of
Arayos,
and that is not a Chayav Misa.
No, I think it's just changing the focus that everyone, the city people and Shechem and Chamor, were over on Gezel, kidnapping, rather than Arayos, because there was no Arayos here. But if Arayos was the sin, then everybody else would be off the hook. Right, because no, then what did they do? Only Shechem and Chamor slept with, or only Shechem really, you know, would be chayev on the arayos, but everybody else was involved in the gezel part. So Rabbi Sachs beautifully puts it all together. He goes back to our original question: what's the moral message of this story, and what are we supposed to learn from here, and who's really to blame? Because when we look at the story, there are seven parties that seem to have a little bit of a piece in it. And so he beautifully answers that actually what the Torah is trying to tell us is that in things like that, this, even when people are justified in what they're doing, they never come out 100% clean. And he beautifully quotes Yitzhak Rabin. I don't think I've ever used him as a source of one of my shiurim. But Yitzhak Rabin said after the Six-Day War, or in I guess somewhat of a retrospect on the Six-Day War, he said, you know, we won this miraculous war, and you had all these young boys that came home that should have been so excited and so happy that what did they do? They liberated and saved the Jewish people. And yes, there was that feeling, and yet the army had such a, after the Six-Day War, there was such a undercurrent of negativity in the soldiers that came back. And Rabin said the reason is that when we won, we lost. Because innocent boys went out and had blood on their hands. And even though the blood on their hands was justified, there's no question about that at all. They killed people that were waiting to kill the Jewish people. Every single one of them, if not an active murderer, was a Rodef. And so they certainly did that. The Rabin said, what we lost in the war was our innocence. And that you can never get back. And I think that many, many people in Israel felt that, you know, they could never, I think I once saw this from Begin, but maybe not, that we can forgive our enemies for so many things, but we can never forgive our enemies for the fact that they took away our innocence. Says Rabbi Sacks, that's really what's at play in this story. Yeah, it's very clear that the most guilty party in this entire story is Shechem. And perhaps right behind Shechem is Hamor, who justifies the fact that his son has done something so heinous. Yeah, that's bad. But everybody else, I'm not sure exactly how Rabbi Sacks would deal with Dina in this, but Dina, for sure, right? She loses her innocence in this, and she'll never be the same. We have no indication that she gets married after this to anyone, although midrashically she gets married to Shimon. The brothers, they lose a bit of their innocence. Shimon and Levi certainly lose their innocence. Rabbi Sacks says that what the moral message of this story is, that when it comes to war, when it comes to things like this, even if a person could sit there and say, what I did was 100% justified, 100% correct, they'll never be the same person afterwards. And that's what the Torah is trying to warn us, is that when you enter into the murky waters of justice and the murky waters of murder, even when justified, the person loses in that. And that's what the Torah wants to say to us. It wants to teach us the sanctity of life is really important even when a person has to do something like this.